Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. And joining me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Darren and Philip. Hey, guys, City Alpha 3 now stands for the year 3000.
Star Trek in the 3000.
So how's it going, guys?
That's been a long time getting from there to here.
A long time.
Isn't that what I have to say?
Interesting, because you know, getting off our lower decks a week, regimen.
Yes,
I shoved season two Star Trek Discovery in like 4 days or something in my brain. So that was a switch, and now of course we're in season three. So
this episode felt really long, like twice as long as I'm used to for a Star Trek episode. It just kept going and going. So I need my pep, my little 24-minute episodes. Boom, boom, boom.
Fewer characters yet, though. So it's
I hope this pairing changes, because it's just the two characters the entire time.
So we will talk.
The monster is very similar to Lower Decks. So, you know, there was that. So
we will talk about.
But I want that Orion and that and Dorian together. That's a good pairing. I want to see.
Okay, we'll get into that. We'll get into
OTP. OTP.
Yeah. Just because Philip mentioned it, and Philip, I'm curious, when me and my girlfriend started the episode, she's like, I don't really remember what happened last season. And I'm like, you know, I kind of don't either. I just know they're going into the future. And then they showed the recap.
Right.
And then
last
we were still like
Star Trek, Star Trek Discovery.
And then after the recap, we were still like, what? I don't. What? Okay. So how was watching season two in such a short time frame? Was it a different experience? Did you get anything else out of it? Where are you at mentally?
You know, Star Trek Discovery kind of reminds me of other series. I know this won't mean anything to the two of you, but Crusade, which is the Babylon 5 series sequel, or the series that followed Babylon 5. I'm trying to think. There's probably one or two other things where I always come back to it. I'm like, you know what? I didn't like it. I'm going to watch it again, you know, open minds, different perspective. And then you watch it again, like, nope, didn't like it. Nothing has changed.
It's like, exactly, there was a reason for not liking this the first time.
Yeah, sometimes I don't. Years change, times change. Maybe, nope, didn't like it. But I mean, to answer your question, it's odd to watch this, especially after Star Trek Picard, because it's very similar as far as, not everything, but as far as the fundamental stakes and the threat. It is the control, people remember from Section 31, control is the AI that they use to, I don't know, do all their battle planning. That somehow, after they've encountered this mysterious sphere, which has never been explained, the sphere has all this knowledge that it dumped like V'ger or something on them, that somehow if the control learns all the history of AI that the sphere has collected in thousands of years, it will somehow become a very sentient AI, and then somehow get the knowledge to destroy all sentient life. I don't know. There's a lot of, just, you got to imagine.
Why? Just go with it, guys. Just go with it.
I do love how everyone keeps saying destroy all sentient life. Like, guys, you use a different phrasing. Like, every episode,
well, and it's
destroy
like,
all sentient
how?
Life.
Because, you
destroy
know,
all sentient life.
That would
like,
be kind of hard.
Organics or something, or, you know. But anyway, and of course, there's a lot of time traveling and Michael crying and Spock and Michael and Amanda and Spock and Michael and Sarek and Sarek and Spock and, you know.
And Spock shuttle. Don't forget the shuttle.
Yeah. And then all the other characters that just are there, Georgiou and Ash. And anyway. But long story short. So yeah, the way we ended, of course, is that Michael was going to lead Discovery into the future, Doc Brown style, because if they took the information from the sphere that's in Discovery's computer and send it to the future, control can't reach it, But in the last 10 minutes of the last episode of episode 2, Control, which has gotten into Leland, Captain Leland from Section 31, is killed by Georgiou, but they still execute the future plan. I don't know. I don't understand. Because there's like this one line of dialogue when they, if you remember the season two at the end, where they're like doing the little interviews with all the people.
Just assume we don't.
Yeah.
There's like, well, it's basically, this is where they squeeze in the like Spock's like, you know what? We should have some sort of directive, some important directive that we never mention Michael again. You know, and that's.
Right. That's true.
Actually, it's because we never mentioned Discovery in the Spore Drive. So that's why it's never mentioned, because Spock had an idea. But like, there's some like one line, because now Ash is commander of Section 31. He's made commander of Section 31. But there's something like, "Oh yeah, we got controls done." I'm like, "What was the threat then?" I feel like we beat everyone and we still flung people into the future. Okay, so theoretically, Burnham was going to lead Discovery to the future because she's the time thing, and they have all the information that needs to be taken away, and a lot of the crew volunteered to go on the Discovery, and so she is,
including Georgiou. Which is going to make it hard for her to launch her show, but that's neither
that's
here
true.
Nor there.
They'll
that's
find
true.
A way.
Ash is not there. So for the he's commander, he's Section 31 back in the 23rd century. And so Spock, of course, was going to go, but then he didn't. Spoiler alert, Strange New Worlds. So yeah,
and you know,
so
the rest of Star Trek as well.
Yeah,
he had to be behind for that.
Yeah, so Wilson Cruz is on Discovery still. Reno engineer is still on Discovery. So it'll be interesting, you know, what we see, what happens. So
well,
there we are.
Yeah. So that leads us literally into season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. Now, we talked last week about switching up our format a little bit, and we're not going to be doing an entire show review, but we will spend roughly half the time talking about the first episode here. And then we'll talk about something else. And in this case, it may not be the same every week, but in this case, it was conversation I wanted to have spurred on by this episode, but we'll get there when we get there. So let's start with...
I believe Daniel's calling this one quick dance on the disco floor.
Well, there you go. That's nice, yeah. No, this is actually called The Hope Is That Hope Is You. I was really, really hoping that wasn't going to be referencing Michael Burnham, because she's already saved the universe.
I mean, come
twice.
On. You know it is.
And
you
of
know
course, it's of Michael course Burnham. It's referencing Michael Burnham.
Is it a part one, or am I making that
It
up?
Is a part one.
It is a part one.
And next week is not part two, which is weird. I think episode 3 is part two, so I think we're going to see like the Discovery side, and then they're going to come together in episode 3.
That makes sense.
I think
there's
that's what
BSG
we're going to get.
It kind of makes sense. I'm fine with that. That's not a bad idea. Because I was wondering, because obviously this episode focuses singularly on Michael Burnham.
Just this episode.
Well, as someone else pointed out, now it is literally impossible for any other character in Star Trek Discovery to be in every episode of the season of the show.
Well, that's not true.
Know.
Book.
But he hasn't been in any of before. I'm saying Michael Burnham has been in every episode.
Oh, of the whole series.
Of the whole series.
Gotcha. Well, yeah.
And you don't know.
Yeah. I think we're going to be hearing a lot about
at the end
Michael
of episode
character.
2, she could pop up in the last 5 seconds.
It's true.
You know.
I guess,
hello.
I guess.
Oh, that's true.
So, yeah, let's just start with overall impressions. What did you guys think? You know, I've heard some positive buzz, which, you know, hey, people liking it. That's good. Where do you guys land on this whole episode here? Darren, let's hear you talk.
Just make noise with your mouth, Darren. Just say something.
Now, before you talk, are you on kind of any... have you taken anything, been hit with any...
Guys,
any
sword? Sat down here, I got hit in the face with this fanboy spray. I don't know what that's supposed to do, but no. No, I enjoyed the episode. I felt, you know, honestly, and from little things I've read, it felt like they wanted to go into the far future, and it just took them a longer time to get the characters there. But I think after Brian Fuller left, it became like... Yeah, we don't want to be stuck in a prequel show. Like, there's so much that you can't do. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be an interesting tale. I kind of just want them to just do this time. I don't want the whole show to be about how do we get back. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but I don't want that. You know, I just want this crazy, you know, 30, what is it? 32nd, 31st, 30th,
32nd. Because it was 3188, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. So 32nd
well, it's the
23rd
century. So isn't it the 33rd century?
That is 3188. So 32nd century.
Oh.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's different enough, but there's also still familiar. Like we don't know anything. We don't know who's allied with who. We don't know what the map. I need a map, guys. You know me. I need a map of the galaxy. I need to see how big the Ferengi hegemony is by this time or whatever that's
become.
Well,
you say we don't know who's allied with who, but we've now learned, because although I guess we didn't know before that the Orions and the Andorians didn't get along, and now they do.
Right.
That's new information, right? As far as I know, I don't think we knew that before.
Yep, green and blue.
And then we found out that the Gorn have somehow destroyed two sectors of subspace, but we don't know how.
Right. Yeah, so we know some pieces, but I mean, we'll get to the big revealing drops a little later, but...
You say that, but remember Star Trek Picard. And we really thought that we were going to learn a lot about Romulan.
No, culture. I meant talking about it right now.
I'm just saying, don't hold out hope for a ton of answers. Is all I'm saying.
No,
but that's the whole episode, Daniel. Is hope?
Yeah,
yeah.
Is
that's
it
true?
The whole episode? I mean, it's that one scene for sure. That one scene.
Yeah, and I thought just very quickly. Look, you know, I don't like Discovery, so you know, I'm filtering all that and trying to take away all the negative stuff. Because if after watching everything and then watching this episode, I'm like, yeah, that's more of the same. But no, so take negative out, boom. All right. But I thought it was because they did the drug scene, which I know is supposed to be funny, but I'm like, remember the time when Tilly was on drugs? Because that's the same scene. But anyway, doesn't matter. We're being positive. It was obviously very action packed. You know,
yeah.
Lots of
personal transporters choo-choo. Are kind of fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's Nightcrawler in the future. Yeah. That's kind of cool. Awesome. I'd like to be Nightcrawler. Yeah, for sure.
I felt they did a good job with the new tech. Like it wasn't because you have to push the tech and but personal transporters and like the interfaces were kind of cool on the ships.
I don't have to make my bed anymore. I'm all about that. Just
yeah, the sand technology was kind of cool.
This is my big problem I have with the premise now. And you say they do well. I don't think they do because this is not a 1,000-year leap. This is like a 75-year leap in technology. Like,
well, I'm sorry to interrupt. I would just say that one thing, and it's hard to do, but one thing I would always argue is that we shouldn't always think that time is progressive. You know,
aren't those grains of sand in that bed a race? And won't we be judged by how we treat those grains of sand?
Because theoretically, there may have been a bit of a reset with the burn.
Well,
yeah,
don't know.
I was going to say.
Okay. Should we talk about that
less, or
now?
Less about the burn and more about the fall of the Federation?
Well, that's the inciting incident, right? Apparently.
Yeah.
So what happened is all dilithium in the universe, or yeah, maybe it all hit the expiration date at the same time, or
at least in the galaxy,
it became destabilized to some degree. Which, of course, it's got to be some. It can't just be like an interesting like fall of Rome situation where like you know there's all this political stuff going on. It's like an actual sort of a fall of an empire. It has to be some ridiculous. It happened everywhere at once, and we don't know why. We'll never ever know. It's always so crazy. But anyways, all the dilithium became unstable at once. And blew up all the starships. I have a big problem with a lot of this, too, because dilithium is not the only way that all ships go to warp. We've seen plenty of other warp ships. We've even seen sail warp ships that can just go to warp by being built.
Right.
In the...
So the Romulans have a leg up.
Romulans have the leg up. The Borg certainly are going to be just fine, right? I think. I don't think they use
but I think the I think
slipstream
the
slipstream technology isn't based on dilithium.
No.
Yeah.
But I think the goal is though it's like the heart of every Federation ship is or at least Starfleet ship.
We are still not advancing the technology. It was still the same dilithium that they've been using for at least 700 years or whatever it was. So.
And I don't have the problem that you have, Daniel, but I mean when you think about like should you be using the same fuel source for like 1,000? I mean, this is like 950 years.
It's not necessarily a fuel source. Like, it's like what makes warp source. Drive work. It's not like, hey, let's put in unleaded instead this time, and it's in Star Trek, it's physics. It's like the physics of warp travel. It's not like you can just invent a new way to do warp travel.
This is Star Trek, though. Of course you can invent a new... Wormholes. Voyager tried to invent a new way to do warp travel like 17 times. Are you kidding?
A personal transporter invented by Khan, Scotty.
Oh, from... Oh, geez, yeah.
Anyways, we'll actually talk about that
a little bit later.
Yeah. The premise to me is, it's like, it's such a weird thing to do and not really set up the backstory here. And of course, we don't know much. And this is, now I have deja vu because I've said this for every season. I'm trying to give it the benefit of a doubt. They're not going to answer all my questions. They're never going to dive into this stuff, I don't think. But we don't know. So maybe there'll be an episode we'll discover exactly what happened. But
discover. Now, Darren, are you feeling any Star Wars vibes from this episode? You had your courier, you had, kind of like your Han Solo-ish figure. You kind of have, like, the visiting the spaceport.
The spaceport was pretty Star Wars.
I was just trying to absorb more new Star Trek, but particularly. I think because this doesn't – Star Trek never has the lived-in feel that Star Wars does. That's a big thing of the look of Star Wars. Everything is grungy and old and used and
there's
worn.
A grunge. Or that's a grudge.
Grudge,
sorry,
yeah.
Never mind.
But I think it's, where Star Trek is more around its like technology and it's interesting. I mean, as a whole, I mean, can't we all say that this episode, it's like 2/3 of it is one way and then like the last third is something totally different. I mean, because everybody talks about that end like in a different way than the rest of the episode.
Yeah, and I think
the starbase part.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think Book. That's his name, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Book.
I mean, he's got a longer name, but his short
I'm getting Firefly Book. Flashbacks. Oh, sorry, yeah. It's a little hard to be like
Cleveland
character.
Booker.
There you go.
But you call him Book.
Yeah, anyway. Shepherd Book.
Where just like anyway. Michael Burnham call her Mutineer. But
ooh.
You know,
oh.
Ooh.
Too soon.
But never call her late for dinner.
Too right. soon? It's been 1,000 years, Daniel.
But, I mean, Book is interesting in as much as he is. He's almost like a, I'm forgetting everyone's name from Picard. Santiago. I can't remember. That might be actually the actor's name. The captain from Picard.
Oh, Raffi.
The captain.
Rios.
Rios. He has a Rios feel about him, you know.
He does, but Rios was like...
Cool.
Rios was like Book.
I think I like Book.
Yeah.
No,
Rios
like
was like going on like a lot of cylinders. Like Book is more like, hey, Book has the ideals of the Federation, but he also has been living in this time and he's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know your name. I don't know where you came from. Like it's just going to cause trouble. And look what it does. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't like first half of the episode Book. I like finding out about his like
is a humanitarian
society
side.
Yeah, no, he's not even humanitarian. It's more like
animalitarian.
He's because the Federations are the only ones.
Preservationist or
yeah he's like an environmentalist for sure, right? That's what he is.
I mean, as an entertainment thing, it was an entertaining episode, and then the thoughts, well, I mean, there's the mystery of what happened to Discovery, which is not I mean, it's in the episode, but obviously it's not in the episode.
I mean, since
solved.
We watched 2009, we know when one leaves the time stream, the other one is going to come out later. Like, I was not surprised at all that Discovery wasn't there.
But guys, guess what?
The show's called Discovery. So it's probably going to show up later.
First season, it took them 3 episodes.
That's true.
So anyway. I just think that there were a lot of, like, scenes. It reminds me of, and again, this isn't a critique. I'm just saying this one. So like JJ or Kelvin Universe Trek up where we're just going to have scenes of like, just sort of like these experiential scenes. So, you know, you're having the drunk scene. Ah, it's funny, isn't it? You're going to have the chase scene. Actiony, isn't it? And I'm like, okay, but are we going to get to the thing? And so the thing at the end is the thing. And so it's kind of like, oh, okay, you have a slight, though it's funny with the book, like he almost is revealed to be good, quote unquote, good too easily. Like you would think, like the cynical courier thing would kind of last,
and
then the veneer would drop off.
And it's not even his ship, right? Like I was assumption that he stole the ship in the beginning, or did he just steal the creature?
He stole the creature.
Okay. See, I was under the impression that it wasn't even his ship, so I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is.
It's also super unclear because when he's on the planet on Sanctuary and he's like, oh, we rescue these guys all the time, I'm like, you can only get away with this once before they stop trusting you with stuff to courier around.
Yeah.
I don't. And so also I wanted to talk about real quick the people, specifically the Andorian and the
Orion.
The Orion, who had great chemistry together. They
and
were
had great names. The you have Ithic, the Andorian, and Ithor, the Orion.
they're
just
they were,
buddies.
Yeah, whoever they were cast was great, but their roles were super unclear because I thought at first they're like the authority in the station or on the in the
they're like the guild
guards,
like the head of
they
the
were
guild.
They were the guys literally at the front door. Then it turns out they were also involved in, like, the transactional part of it. And then
Stormtroopers.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It's fine. I like them. I was sad they died.
No. Yeah, they were great.
They were funny together. Anyways, because the sandworm eats them. And
sorry, was that not?
Yeah, don't look at it unless after it's fed, then you can.
I didn't get that. Why was she close?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to lead to something.
Well,
close your eyes,
well no, but, like... It did something because you look in the reflection of their eyes and they're all like sparkly, like all the people. Like it hypnotized. It kind of like hypnotized everybody. But then as soon as it was starting to attack the others, he opens his eyes and she opens her eyes and there's no problem anymore. And I'm like,
stand still.
Yeah,
they call it a they use a word like a phase worm or something like that. Like it's like literally like
transworm.
Transworm, that's what it was, yeah.
Molly the Transworm.
It took me to the second time to see that. And yeah, you can see like their eyes are glowing and they can't move. And then it just eats them. But then why does it eat Michael but not kill her? And also, I don't know. Anyways.
You'll spoil the milk.
Anyways.
Don't phase her. You'll spoil the milk.
So let's talk about that last scene because it does change the tone of the episode quite a bit. I would say that certainly it was my favorite scene, even though I have a couple issues with it. But it was, I think, the actor that they got was fantastic. And it makes me think that they have a writer, or maybe two, who kind of get it. Because I think that was the dialogue for the most part. And the idea is cool. That's
You're talking about the Starbase scene,
The
right?
Starbase scene, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and because
right,
remember, we were prequeled that.
He's acting comm officer, but like I thought they were like acting. I was waiting for like lieutenant acting guys. That would have been funny, but like yeah, I was like give him a rake. Oh, well. She would have taken sawed one of her pips off of her badge, and I guess you can't do that. But
well, because again, we saw him I think towards the very beginning in that little flash where he was going through his routine.
Yeah,
and then we jumped to Michael appearing, and I think that was also helpful because even with that opening scene I was like, is this like time machine, are you a hologram or something that you know is there, but no, it's a person that's just
I was waiting for the Cylon representative to finally show up.
I was thinking that same thing. Yeah. I was thinking about that. But no, this idea that this guy is essentially the last guard, the last bastion here, and he's the one holding the flame for anybody to walk through the door. That's cool. Like somebody, one person in the universe holding that. I thought that was cool. And I think it was really well acted by that actor. And it just threw me off when it was like, he's like, my only hope is you, Michael Burnham. And I'm like, no. I mean, it's nice that she's the one that can give you the commission. That's fine.
They had a great moment.
She's not the only hope, though. Oh my god! You literally said you had two starships flying around. Yeah. Why aren't they your hope? Oh, anyways, I was just getting annoyed by that.
Can Saru and the entire crew like show up next? And he's like, oh, I thought it was just the one, Captain Saru. Let me shake your hand. Yeah. My only hope.
But it was nice. It was a nice scene. I think the sentiment was pretty.
Now, does the flag turn into sand? I don't understand how technology works.
Well, it kind of reminded me a bit of in Picard when he had his personal
archives
where everything is like there, but it's kind of pattern buffered, stored in the memory. And that kind of made more sense because, it's an object. It's a physical object, but it's meshed into the sand until you need it. Yeah. But it's obviously an actual object, which is, you know, which kind of makes sense. It's kind of a progression of transporter and replicator technology. I'm interested to see what, you know, I was trying to get a sense for how big of an area he can cover, because he said 600 light years, and I'm like, is that, they kept throwing around words like sectors and stuff, and I'm like, what about quadrants, buddy? Like, is it is it the alpha quadrant, or is it like a part of the quadrant, or
we'll
and I did kind of like also the design of the star base. It had a, you know, obviously it's not the mushroom, but you could kind of get a sense of like, this is what that kind of became over time.
Yeah, I did like that too.
But it was interesting, and yeah, just the whole like true believer, you know, that line was used a lot on someone who still believed in the Federation. Because it, from my understanding, it fell like 100 to 150 years ago at this point, which in the span of moving 1,000 years through time is really close to the now.
Yeah, but it's also, well, we'll talk about that. That's our second half of what we're going to talk about this week. So let's close off our review here. And if there's anything else that you wanted to mention from the episode that we missed, go ahead, Philip, and then give us your closing thoughts.
This is a nitpick. It's fine. But just as a question, it's like, in the back of her time suit, angel suit, whatever, she has her away team pack, which is cool. That's awesome. But she has her badge, which I know is central to the episode, but it serves no actual function when you think about it. This isn't the 24th century where that would be your comm badge. It's like, okay, tricorder.
It's her dog tag, if anything.
She should be wearing, you know, I mean, like, it just seems like that's your standard away team. And you're like, okay, I got my phaser, I got my tricorder, I got my rations, and I got my badge. All right. Okay. Why not?
So, closing thoughts, Philip. What do you think?
It did what it needed to do of setting up kind of what the rest of the season is about. Well, in other words, it didn't really. Like, it didn't say, like, what's Star Trek season 3 going to be about? I don't know. Finding Discovery? No, because we're going to solve that pretty soon. Is it about, I guess it's about solving or reforming the Federation. So maybe I'm just being obtuse here. So that's what it's about. It's going to be about reforming the Federation. So that sounds cool. Let's do that, guys. Let's bring the band back together again.
All right. And Darren, what did you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good start, and I'm interested to see kind of where it goes, but I can't wait to get to the other characters we enjoy from this show, like, appearing.
Like Captain Saru, maybe?
Captain Saru. Hey, he is the highest ranking member of Starfleet now, so I bet you no one's taken that command chair from him at this point.
Assuming he doesn't...
Acting ensign, Starbase man doesn't count. So. But no, I'm optimistic. You know, I'm just kind of watching at this point.
Yeah, but. Totally. No, I'm with you. I thought it was okay. That it wasn't like I like that. There's no blindingly obvious goal, like 7 red lights in the sky this season. Yeah. Like, it's not.
We sent away the red angel suit. It's gone, and it sent the last signal to Spock, I guess.
I think that was a wrap up from the last.
And
season.
I thought that's what the Starbase guy was watching for. But I thought he was watching for the, because they had just shown that I will watch for that.
You
signal
are the promised one.
And then I thought he was going to see it, and it's like, oh, it finally happened. But it's like, nope, we're done with the Red Angel.
And he gives her the wooden cup and says, "You have chosen well."
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, and we'll talk a little bit about it every week. And next week we're going to be talking when the actual Discovery comes through, Far From Home. So that makes sense, right? That makes sense. We will talk about that next week. But this episode, of course, dealt a lot with the fall of the Federation. The ramifications, we haven't touched on that, but like the idea, like Michael Burnham is clearly very distressed. The idea that she had to travel very far into the future, in fact, 1,000 years or so, and that the the idea that the Federation might not exist, I guess, didn't occur to her. But 1,000 years seems pretty reasonable to think that some things may have changed politically.
What? And things have changed in 1,000 years?
So, I don't know. To me, it's just like, I want to talk about what do we think the Federation represents? And is she, is it like a plausible to think someone that was like if we were flung 1,000 years into the future, especially after, you know, especially if it was 3020 and we found out that America didn't exist, I'd be honest, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, that's fine. It is.
Well, I can kind of understand her, like, when she says, like, that's impossible, when he says the Federation fell, like, to a point, I can kind of understand her, because it's like something cataclysmic would have had to happen, because the Federation is so big. It's too big to fail, guys.
Those are dangerous words, Darren.
I guess the only thing, and again, I'm not going to make a big issue of it, but like the thing about the Federation's existence, it was as if someone who had studied the development of species, like some sort of, I don't know, xenosociologist, which Michael Burnham is, would know the development of cultures. Yeah.
I mean, is she? Because she never talks about that, like, well, ever.
Because her dad, that's what her dad was. And I think that's what she is. I mean, she's a broadly scientist, but that's, I believe, where her background is, studying cultures. But anyway, but all that's to say, yeah, but the Federation, I mean, I guess, to get into the nuts and balls, what is Federation with a Z? What is Federation? I feel like, was it the meme with like the anime guy with the butterfly? Is this Federation? is it an exploration agency? Because, like, in other words, you know, we're accepting the premise. Okay, all dilithium.
It's
goes,
an
boom.
Idea, and it's real.
But if dilithium goes boom, and presumably many starships went boom, so then even and this isn't true. I mean, because it'd still be star bases and stuff. But I assume it's just planets. You know, just planets left. Okay, well, you have the Federation of Planets left, so they can't necessarily go anywhere.
Was the president en route somewhere, or was he on a planet? Like, who gets taken out?
But like, what's the purpose now? Is it just, if we can't travel,
and we can't guarantee it's not going to happen again.
And space exploration is kind of dead for a hot second. You know, is that the purpose of the Federation? Is it trade? It's all these things, of course, but I'm saying, you know, does that cataclysmic event, we can't go anywhere, because we are still in contact theoretically,
sure,
you can still, you know, communicate.
I don't know if Alex Kurtzman knows that, but yes, he would. Absolutely.
Well,
would.
The Gorn haven't taken over subspace quite just yet, but you know, I guess, you know, planets get selfish or something, which, I mean, that's not a critique, that will happen, you know, is Andor,
or like we said with the Romulans, like, they have a leg up. They use a totally different technology.
Well, not these Romulans, because they would have lost their whole planet at that point. Well,
yeah.
Before then, but yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, in some ways, that's the fall of cultures. Look, it's not my specialty, but, you know, I'm thinking of like an Earth example, the fall of Rome, which, I mean, you kind of have society regress. That's the so-called Dark Ages. And I mean, I'm not going to give a history lesson because it's not my expertise, but, you know, society regressed when the Roman Empire fell. I mean, you had the rise of the Catholic Church providing all the services that the empire no longer did. And so you became a more religious society, but blah, 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 blah. All that's to say is when one falls, another should rise. So I'm curious who is ostensibly in charge. I'm hand quoting now, you know, is
right.
It
who has
the
big piece
syndicate?
Of the pie?
Is it, you know, because this is, I presume, going to be, and this is me presuming, it's very tropish, this is going to be an apocalyptic, you know, post-apocalyptic, well, you know, it's like Mad. It's all every movie you've ever seen. Mad Max. It's,
when they say the Federation fell, yeah, but Dorians are a founding member of the Federation, so like they seem to be doing okay.
Well, they're guarding some.
Well, here's
thing.
The thing. Here's
it's
the,
not
and,
great.
And this is why I wanted to talk about it, because the Federation, of course, is a political entity, which really is just a group of societies that agree to a certain set of common rules. Right? They all agree, you know, slavery is bad, and that, you know, racism is bad.
Observe and don't touch for certain primitive cultures.
So there's like a set, basically there's a set rules that they use to, so that everybody can cooperate and essentially kind of rise everybody up together. Now, if there's the case where that the Federation falls, and of course, like you were saying, Philip, like any fall of any great civilization, somebody would fill those cracks or come to fill that void. But you still have people obviously encountering each other, obviously working together, like we see, like she's shocked that the Orions and the Andorians are working together. What have we lost at that point? We don't know, of course, but we've not lost everything, because there's a common language, there's a common currency, maybe there's a common set of values that people are cooperating. They're still living together and
still
working
trade
together.
Still...
So it's like, what is it that makes the Federation special, even before this episode or whatever? And what is it that what are they going to come in and change? Of course, we've only seen this tiny slice of this one planet, but what is it that what is the fundamental? There's not freedom seems to be okay. There was no all the Orion. There was an Orion lady and an Orion dude, and there's no slaves there. Everybody seemed to be equal-ish. What is it that we are fighting for at this point? I don't know.
Yeah, because another, and this is just a one slice of the pie, so we don't know what's going on. But like, is this, you know, to your Star Wars, is this the Empire's in charge? Like, I mean, like, if everyone's right. Cool, I mean, do we need to reclaim the lost days of the Federation? You know,
well, and
if it's like the bad guys in charge, oh, if we bring the Federation back, the rebellion can overtake the Empire, you know.
Well, and yeah, that's true. It's like, did everybody become much more like nationalist and everything splintered? So like Andoria makes a little partnership with like Orion, but they're like, we're not a part of this group anymore. We're going to just do our own thing. And, you know, and is the Federation more about the ideal, or is it about everybody's together? Like, you know, there's only so many stars on that flag.
There's been some design changes. Or
honestly, is it humans? Are humans the magical like ingredient in the Federation that made it different? Because I can tell you, like, probably a lot of humanity was killed in the burn. Like, maybe not like endangered species level, but I mean, think about every starship you've seen. The majority of people on those starships are human. So
yeah, but I mean, humans still exist, of course.
No, I know, but I'm just saying
that they take a hit like the Romulans is what you're saying.
Yeah, just like, again, like Star Trek has kind of set it up that humanity, I mean, heck, we saw this in Enterprise, that humanity is what made the Federation become born. Like, our drive and our ability to bring other groups together is what created the Federation. So if a massive amount of Starfleet leadership is killed, you know, how do you maintain those alliances and those, you know, and after any natural disaster, which is kind of what this is, you know, you're going to have people reeling from it. And he kind of says, like, they kind of tried to hold on for a while, but eventually, like, it was not like the burn happened and the Federation like blipped out, but it obviously was the beginning of the end. And I don't know if we're going to learn more or if that's all we're going to get.
To me, it's funny. I don't disagree with doing this, but to me, it's funny that without, maybe they meant to, or maybe they didn't mean to, but the way the episode was kind of like, what's the Federation mean to answer your character? It's a regulatory agency. And once you lose that regulatory agency, suddenly no one's taking care of the endangered
species. Yeah.
So suddenly you need the Federation, don't you, huh? So someone
they
needs
defunded
to be doing
the police of Starfleet, and look what happened.
You know, suddenly your food's not safe to eat. Your drugs aren't safe. You know, the roads and bridges. Who's inspecting those guys? You're not thinking about the regular. I mean, which
those
I think
space
is true.
Bridges.
It's true, but I think it's funny that that's
people
like-
are going warp 8 in a warp 4 zone. It's ripping apart the fabric of the galaxy.
Yes. Everybody's skateboarding on the school grounds. Where are the people to protect everyone? Yeah.
A lot of loitering going on is what I'm saying, guys. but I, you know, which I think is, you know, I won't give any pro-government rant here, but I mean, you know, I think that's funny of like, you know, who looks out for the Aminals when there's no Federation, you know, so.
Yeah, it's just strange to me, again.
The higher ideals.
And I don't want to harp on this too much, but it's like, 1,000 years in the future is a long time. Like, yeah. How long would it have had to have been for Michael to not be emotional about it? Like, 10,000 years?
A million years? Year Federation.
100,000 years? It's like, no, of course this is going to happen. How
things
old?
Come and go, yeah.
In Discovery's time, the Federation is only like, what, like 40 years old at that point or something like that? It's not very old.
Wait, in which time?
In her time, in Michael Burnham's time.
Oh.
She's it's only like, because President Archer was old. Still alive at that point. It's not crazy old.
That's true.
So it's not like it's this...
It's not like Next Gen time where it's been like a couple of centuries.
Right. So like in Next Gen time, I would think we would consider that maybe right before like the Dominion War, maybe it would be like the height of the Federation Empire, maybe. And that's where.
I don't know if I agree with Empire.
I don't know. We just had this big war with the Klingons that almost wiped us out.
You know,
maybe the Federation.
Call it what you want, but it is what it is. if you're sandwiched in between two other empires. Anyways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's like maybe like Picard. I think Picard wouldn't get emotional if he was removed 1,000 years from the universe and was like, oh yeah, well okay, of course those things.
He's an archaeologist. He knows.
He understands how that works. I just.
I think. Yeah, but I got, you know, because taking it apart from the episode, because it's you can kind of go down a rabbit hole there. It's an Alice in Wonderland reference. Watch season two. as far as what the Federation. Yeah, I think we would get into it, you know, like, why do planets join the Federation? I mean, there's a million reasons. There's no one answer. Is it they want a military benefit? They want the technology benefit? You know, are you, like, the scrappy planet that just stumbled upon warp power and then, like, the strange people beam down like, hey, you want to be part of our community where we have all the magic technology? Yeah, sure. Give me those replicators. I'm all about that. We just found a way to go zoom really fast. So, you know, it's... And then, you know, like I said, it's the whole, like, you know, from an American perspective, it's kind of like the founding of our country is like a little state. Like, are you a little planet? Do you want the big states to help protect you? But like, what if you're like a big planet? Do you need the Federation to come in? I don't know. But maybe it's like a trading and commercial thing. So there's a million reasons why. But I think when disaster happens, because I think that's like the Deep Space Nine critique. When there's trouble, you know, to Federation, you know, like the technology blows up. Do they stay Federation to their ideals, or do they crumble? You know, that's always been like the DS9 question, right? And maybe that's what we're going to pursue a little bit.
Maybe not though, but maybe. It's interesting. And for all we know, and Michael doesn't know yet, the new Federation, the new Republic. That was for you, Darren. The new Republic. Could be better. This could literally be a better organized, a better society. We don't know. We've zero idea, of course, but it could be. Maybe
when the second Klingon Empire comes down,
it's weird. Like they call, like you said, you mentioned earlier, Darren. They call like the three people left doing it true believers. But certainly they must be considered crazy fringe people in this society, because if it's been 100 years since that society has fallen, and a book mentions like, this is before I was even born. Like, why do I care about this stuff? Like, this is crazy. This is like, you know, crazy. And so why, who's going to follow Michael Burnham on this journey? You know,
what thing? And this isn't, you know, write their show. It's fine. This isn't a critique, but just as a thought. The fact that he knows about it, I mean, of course he knows about it. I say that, you know, history could have been exploded or something, like World War III or something. But, like, it almost would have been cooler if it was more mythical to him. You know, like, the Federation, is this, was it a real thing? I don't know. But, like, he knows, like, oh, yeah, my granddad was in Starfleet or something. You know, it'd be interesting that the people still wear the badges, which they still have, apparently. You know, never ends. 950 years later, we're still doing badges. That what that would mean, why people would do that, because, you know, again, you're thinking about like something that has ended. I don't even know if there's like a parallel they're thinking of, like something that happened a long time ago. We'll just say that instead of a long time ago, that people still have like, oh man, that was a better time. I mean, I'm not trying to make Federation great again or anything, but like, you know, what as you kind of say, Daniel, what would people think about people who can't get over it? You know, I mean, yeah, there was this Federation, but I mean, like, we're in the now, so let's focus on that.
I was also struggling to think of a historical analogy where there are people, like, there's, like, a tiny sliver of, like, I don't even know, like, Roman hardcore fans who want to go back to, Yeah, like, but there's nothing, I can't think of one. I can't think of...
I mean, outside of religion, of course. I mean, religion's always a lot of second comings and return ofs, and, you know, that's a common theme in a lot of major religions. But, like, in sort of a civil society, yeah, it's kind of like, this. Yeah, remember that time we were all... Soviets, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe that's a good example.
Actually, you know what? That's actually a not bad one, though. It's kind of not a, you know, it works in a different direction. But, you know, sort of a longing for the, you know, with Russia. And again, you know, I don't know. If you're living in Russia, you may have a different perspective. But at least from the American side, you know, people who are like, you know, remember the great Soviet Union? And now we're just, you know, struggling. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to recapture that again. But, yeah, but I don't know the reverse.
I don't know if that's
that,
like which, a great...
Yeah, this is more of a hope thing.
Yeah.
But,
Right, so I crunched some of the numbers. So the Federation was founded in 2161. So between that and the time where Michael is shot forward in time, 97 years had passed. Okay, so the Federation was almost 100 years old at that point.
Almost got the centennial.
Yeah. She missed out on the celebration. It was really sad.
Oh, man.
At the time of Nemesis, which is the end of, like, next-gen time, like, last time everything was okay, Michael, the Federation had been around for 218 years. And then...
Picard.
Obviously, we're... Yeah, that's true. I didn't look at Picard yet. But looking at the burn, which it supposedly took place around 108 to 128 years before the future time... So, which is actually, I kind of like that that's something. When they did it. It's actually 3060, between 3060 and 3080.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
But I like that they had it be at least
was it
like 30-20 something years.
Did it happen in 3020? Because I believe it. That's when it would happen.
But I like that there wasn't a lot of time because it makes it. Like Philip was saying, you know, yeah, there's still people holding on, but for the most part, it's like we're not watching the fall of the Federation. The Federation has fallen. It's gone. We're seeing the pick up the pieces phase, you know, of society. Like Philip said, like people filling the gap. You know, who's gonna do that? And but anyway, it's but yeah, I was trying to look that up just to kind of answer your question, Daniel, of like from Burnham's perspective, like how long has the Federation been around? It's been around like several generations at this point, at least from human lifetime.
Yeah, but that's still short. Even now
it is.
In political time, like that's not necessarily like, again, if we found out that whatever.
Yeah. America's around like America's been around longer than the Federation had been around by the time of Nemesis.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like if, again, and we all agreed that if we went into the future and we're like, oh, okay, things are different now. Like all the stuff has been redrawn. But okay. I mean, it's 1,000 years in the future. Who the hell knows what's going to be? So
the continents reform back together?
It's Pangaea? Yeah, that may be.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
So for you're asking about Picard. So Picard, it's only 20 years later. Yeah, right. So... It's be 238 years that the Federation have been around.
250. We're going to come up on the, I don't know, 250s.
But yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, is it really that weird to feel that the Federation had been gone after a 800, 900 year jump in the future? Like, that's.
I mean, in Star Trek Picard,
Anorax would tell you when you look at time, like, no era lasts that long.
In Star Trek Picard, you could still name all the Federation presidents off the top of your head.
I mean, they had the commemorative quarters. It was great.
That's only because they elected that Elorian for like 300 years. That's the only thing.
And until they realized, wait, are you an Elorian? Because you're not aging like we were expecting. Well, you know, when they made him a judge and it was by lifetime appointment, and they're like, oh boy, that was a...
Look, I just like him. He really seems to listen to the people. I mean, that's why I like you vote for him. So.
I mean, sure, you cross him and he smacks down justice like no other, but...
All right. Yeah, so I just thought it'd be an interesting topic to kind of explore. I feel like the 15 minutes we've done talking about that may be more than they have thought about it when setting up the premise for the show, but
no,
that's just my
bias. I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've put a bit of thought into it, and I'm fine with them dishing out tidbits about the fall, mm-hmm. you know, at least they told us what the burn was and that the Federation and when, like, that was more than I was expecting in the first episode anyway.
It made me think two things. One, because acting ensign, I love that's what we're gonna call him now, the acting ensign, like, has established that there's these sort of sectors, you know,
right,
there's an acting ensign in every sector, apparently. But anyway, just waiting to be commissioned. But anyway, it made me think, like, one of these sectors will still be, like, the Federation.
Kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D. it's the remnant.
Like, when S.H.I.E.L.D.
where everything consolidated.
And Commander Adama was still running that other S.H.I.E.L.D. cell for people who watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What?
But anyway, but, like, you know, like, there could still be a faux Federation in one sector still up and running. But
it's the Imperial remnant after the fall of the Empire. It's like, there's always a place that the majority collect.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Earth? I mean, just as a wild guess, but who knows?
I hate to tell you, Earth's gone, buddy. No, I don't know.
What?
We end up on Earth. There's an episode that talks about Earth, so.
Well, good thing we have a starship that doesn't travel on warp drive alone, guys.
Oh, do you think that's the thing here? Well, no, because they've already so that's one of the weird things, too, about the rules that they're establishing here. They can still travel.
Yes.
It's just more expensive.
It's just dilithium crystals. It's almost like a use it and lose it. Like, it's actually like a fuel.
Right.
You could recrystallize it some, but it's, I mean, that's why she was gathering all those shards, because that's like bartering. That's the most valuable currency in the world right now.
But you're right. Discovery. Oh, wow. I didn't even connect those two things, but it's so convenient that the thing, the one thing that would give discovery.
What is our starship not need that every other starship needs? A way to travel. We got a spore drone.
I'm telling you now, I know the reason they did this was so they didn't have to build a main engineering set. You never have to see it. It's only that spore drive room.
And now we're going to see, like, the spore drive article. It's like flirted with by Starfleet scientists back in the late, you know, 2258. But then it saw its prime after all dilithium had blown up in the year 3188.
Solar panels, time to shine.
I do think not only it's a flimsy premise, but only because even if this happened 120 years ago, by now something's replaced dilithium, because we already know from Star Trek history, we've already known plenty of alternatives to dilithium.
Right.
But we probably wouldn't have been using dilithium at that point anyways.
Well, he does talk, though, about...
But trilithium, he mentions three other things.
He lists other things, and he's like, I could use slipstream if I had X, but I don't. You know, so, like, dilithium's like the poor man's way to get around,
it's
like
cold.
Shard by shard. Like, that's what it feels like. And also, I didn't quite get, like, so it all blew up, but not.
Well, not the new still... stuff.
What do you mean the new stuff? Like...
I don't know.
Well, now, are you a dilithium
expert?
Was
it forged in the heart of suns? Like,
I don't know.
My guess is that pieces that were large enough to be used in ship engines, like starship engines, blew up, but, like, little pieces still in the ground. Or, heck, what if you had a planet where your main source was mining dilithium? Did the planet blow up?
Guess is that we're not going to learn any mechanism by which this happened. It's just going to be some random event that occurred, and we'll never know why or how, because it's never going to be addressed.
Because
the Federation
of the past couldn't answer the question.
I know that we're talking about the Federation, but it's also very humanistic, and I mean that not in the philosophy way, but in the racist way. Because, like, what about the Empire? What Klingon Empire? What about the Cardassian Union? What about the Ferengi Alliance? We're not the only power in the galaxy. So it's like, Federation fell, and that was the end of culture. Like, really?
Well,
no one else.
But here's another question, because, yes, we're looking at 128 years ago, the Federation fell, but that's still, like, 700 plus years more Federation after we've last seen them. So are the Klingons part of the Federation? Are the Ferengi part of the Federation? Everybody part of the Federation? Is literally the Federation the galaxy, and then it literally just broke apart again? How big did it get?
That's a great question.
I think an antitrust action.
And you know what? And I'm not worried about them not giving me that answer in the next 10 episodes.
But there's the Alpha Federation, the Beta Federation.
Look, when they redraw the map, I just don't want them to put the line for Alpha and Beta right down through Earth. It's really confusing, guys.
If it is the case that that's happened, warp drive would have been a terrible way for travel. Like that would have, if the, like you're saying, Darren, if it, the Federation had gotten so large, we right. would have had to have developed something else. We would have been able to do wormholes and
slipstream,
whatever. Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going for that because we're just making stuff off of 15 minutes, but like that's a Roman Empire analogy. Empire got too big. You couldn't manage it. They empire emperors. Like,
well, it's not that they couldn't manage it. It's that all of their fuel supply blew up, but yeah.
Well, so you can't, but should that destroy the Federation?
Right.
If that's one thing, then you can no longer manage this big
empire. The trains
can't
run in time when there's no dilithium to run the trains, Philip.
Full impulse.
Yeah, we'll be there in 375 years. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, so that's fun and interesting. And
they use the Q drive where they bribe Q to just flick them around the galaxy.
There's plenty of very powerful creatures in the universe that would have zero problem traveling around without any dilithium.
Tin Man just has, like, you know, it's like a reindeer in a sleigh. You just put a...
Yep. Plenty. There are a trillion ways to get around.
Well, and you're not wrong. I think, obviously, it was the simplest explanation to, like, we all understand it. Like, yes, it's not the only way, but my God, would it be cataclysmic? Like, especially the fact that it's the heart of the majority of Starfleet ships.
It is now. That's my problem. It wouldn't be 700 years from now. I don't think so. I just don't think so.
Hmm.
They don't
we'll
even
see.
Use.
You're saying,
we'll see.
Are you saying
we'll
books?
Who's
grandparents lied is what you're saying. Maybe it's all a lie. Maybe Book's grandparents are.
Think of what 700-year-old technology is the Enterprise using in TNG. They don't even carry books, man. I can't think of anything that old that they're using, that ancient that they're using.
That's true.
Any single technology.
We're expecting them to grow their ships by now.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah. So. That would be cool. That's a great idea, Darren. But anyways, so yeah, that's fun. We'll find out.
Maybe it's just the mothball fleets that were sitting around. Those blew up and it was bad.
Oh,
I don't
know. All the museums exploded.
And now we can't learn anymore. Oh, well, now we're stupid.
The great museum cataclysm.
But we'll find out some answers, I suppose, as we travel on in Discovery, and we'll see where we go. So, yeah. Anybody else have any closing thoughts? Anything else to say? Anything you want to tell future generations 700 years removed?
I mean, we'll still be podcasting, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Well, then we'll find out next week when we talk about the Discovery episode, episode 2, where Discovery shows up in the Discovery, season 2 Discovery. And we will catch you then. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here. And SETI Alpha 3.